Blog Talk Radio.
And no limitations in the spirit, there are no limitations in the glory realm. No limitations in the spirit, there are no limitations in the glory realm. No limitations in the spirit, there are no limitations in the glory realm. No limitations in the spirit, there are no limitations in the glory realm.
Empty. Oh, 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 oh.
here comes a comeback. Father God, good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit, and good morning, Tedline. Father God, in the name of Jesus this morning, according to 1 John 3 and 8, we destroy the works of the devil. Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you may be glorified, lifted up, honored, praised, and worshiped this morning. Brothers and sisters, if you were on here yesterday, praise God, you know I had a problem. So I want to explain or try, but it's like I've been telling you as long as I've been on this headline, that you want to get in a place where God will deliver you, where God will deliver you from things you don't even know, and or things that people are doing to you or sending at you. So yesterday, I knew it was the day to go into, but I had just gotten the message early in the morning. And I was working on two different computers. But to make a long story short, God delivered me yesterday right on this tail line in order to take me into the realm and the level I need to be in so that the anointing would flow for supernatural money, supernatural resources, supernatural wealth. Now, I consider myself a woman of faith, and I thought, I knew God was preparing me for this message, because brothers and sisters, every God certainly ministers to each one of us where we're at, and so God uses me in identifying himself to me in that part of his nature or that part of his character that I'm going to be flowing in by his Holy Spirit. So he had identified himself last week to me according to Genesis 22:14, which is Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. And I mean, I kind of had that. Also identified himself to me as in Ezekiel 48:36, Jehovah Shammah, God is there. His presence is always with us. So when I got ready to share this message, he said, he let me know instantly, immediately, by delivering me, that there was a hindrance. There was going to be a hindrance to the activation of this message. So instead of telling me, like, okay, this is it, blah, 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 he just went on and delivered me from it. And I'm going to tell you what it is, what it was, because it ain't here no more. And I went on yesterday to cast out 400 years worth of witchcraft. That was immediately, because that's the way he does it with me. There was somebody here I didn't know, and they had a 400-year lineage, 400-year inheritance of familiar spirits of witchcraft in their family line. He also had delivered me by moving some people out of the TED, out of the healing home that were here for not the right reason, not the right purpose. So he had delivered them, but they went off and they tried to get some people to pray against my will. Remember, I was telling you about them psychic prayers. Against the will of God, actually, forget about my will. Because, you see, God says, how can two walk together except they both agree? So they didn't come here to be in agreement with this ministry. They came here, like Jesus said, for the fishes and the loaves. Well, that's okay too. But you can't allow the devil, you can't even begin to think you can allow the devil to use you in the house of God under his anointing against God himself and against God's plan or purpose for the life of that person. That's what I'm trying to say. So yesterday, when I began to minister, it was so much stuff that God just, according to his own will, said, look, I'm going to just deliver this all at once. I'm going to shut you down. I'm going to shut you up. I'm going to deliver you, and then I'm going to show you what I delivered you from. I'm going to eliminate the problem, and then you can move on. Brothers and sisters, my background is missionary. Overseas missionary, I'm urban missionary. That's what I believe. I mean, gosh, that's what God called me to. So what happened as a missionary, I believe in giving, 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 giving. But I had this thing in me, and because I ministered to such poor, poor, poor people all the time, I had a problem with asking people to give. Now, I might ask one person that the Lord tells me to ask, and then that person's going to be blessed, but I had heaped too much weight on myself from just being stubborn and not asking people to give because I do not like And I had made this vow to God, do not let me be one of those preachers who ask for money and don't give the people nothing. That they don't see you. All they think is that they can take their money and buy something from God. And then they never get it because it's a lie from the devil. Now, I had made that. I had said that to God. So, therefore, you didn't hear me ask for like no weekly offering or monthly offering. I only asked people to give when I needed it. And I got myself in a lot of trouble because the people who gave were carrying the weight for all the people who never gave, and they never gave because I never really asked them. Now, there are some people who I watched God cause them to give. I just thought God would do it. They would just give. I watched some people who came here, and I told you about that stingy demon the other day, but that day I told you about that stingy demon, it just got fortified. It got stronger in some people. So, God, I call that a Pharaoh vow. Remember when Pharaoh told Moses about, dying, and then he spoke that on himself. I got my staff here, and I think we broke it, or either we went into deliverance. Because whenever you hear me on here, I always, 9 times out of 10, going to have deliverance here on the grounds with the people here anyway. So what I did that day, I asked my staff to give an offering. Everybody in this ministry gave an offering. But I never asked you to give one. And that's because I had that problem with televangelists. I really had a problem with that. But God delivered me of that problem. He delivered me in front of the whole Blog Talk Radio, in front of the whole world. Now, those of you that have been given into this ministry, this for you. You are right here, right now, with what I'm getting ready to teach. And then, what I was asking God, I said, well, maybe I shouldn't teach this. Maybe I shouldn't unloose this. See, that was wrong, too. But remember, I'm on a journey with God. I'm learning just like you are. That's why I love my ministry. Now, I'm going to ask you on this line this morning to give into my ministry. This TED line is a ministry. And in order for this ministry to continue, now, I'm not talking to some of you. Some of you really, really, really heard from God. And you really sent an offer here. But I'm not telling you this morning, this principle that I'm getting ready to unloose, it's not going to work for you if you're stingy. It's going to work for you if you're not a giver. It's not going to work for you if you hate me. See, it's a lot of haters on here. You only on here because you know it's the truth and you know it works. So you won't get off. But yet and still, you take what you get and then you pretend like it came from somewhere else. It came from right here under this anointing, under this ministry. And I'm no longer going to allow the devil to work like he has worked before. Some of you, when I gave that message about toxic people, I got so many texts, so many people that were blessed. So many people got free. One person told me they got free from 58 years worth of bondage. And they didn't even know, because they had been living in the same house they were born in, They did not even know that those demons had been unloosed against their mom and then transferred onto them by another member in their family. And they got free. A lot of people got free. More people, listen, I was actually surprised because I don't ever really look at the statistics for this. I was actually surprised at the amount of people that were listening all last week. Because, see, whenever God delivers me from something, I have to sit up. I have to take note. I want to know why. I want to know how it got there. I want to know what was the instrument the devil used to bring it in. I want to know how to keep it out. I want to know how to walk over that, how to walk empowered through that deliverance. And that's what I did yesterday. Me and God, and he began to show me. But you know what? I called my whole staff up in here and the visitors. I said, now, I wanted to come back on after God finally gave me the message. Let me straighten it out. Let me understand it. God said, no, shut it down. Do not come back on today. I said, okay, I won't. And I just got busy doing deliverance, and I got busy studying this word to know, and I got busy allowing the Lord to give me this message because I've been waiting for it a long time. Brothers and sisters, if you think you're just gonna, you know, God requires work. It's not like normal work. The work that God requires is for you to be seeking him. Those of you who think you are so free, you ain't got no problem, I guarantee you. Till you don't understand the principles of transference of spirits, I guarantee you. I guarantee you don't understand, and neither do I. That's why I keep seeking. That's why I keep searching. That's why I keep allowing God to open up the eyes of my understanding. And not because I'm so selfish, I just want to be free. I want to free, get other people free. For what reason? Because it's hell to be in bondage. It is pure living hell to be in bondage by Satan, devils, demons, evil human spirits, and walking around here and not know it. Just like me, when I thought, after being so rich, that being rich is how I got all those demons. And I said, I don't want to be rich anymore. I want to be poor, God, and serve you. And you know what that was? That was a Pharaoh curse. Because God's kingdom is a wealthy kingdom. And God will bring you into a wealthy place. Just like I'm going to explain it to you this morning. And I'm not going to finish until I finish this teaching so that it can go out and a shift. A shift is felt by believers around the world that will believe. Everybody's not going to believe. That's why people still messed up with devils and demons. And that's why people still think people got to deliver them. No, Jesus is the deliverer. I cannot stress that enough. He uses people to facilitate his anointing through them. But he is your deliverer. And he don't have to have nothing but you to have faith in him. And he will deliver you just like he did me from stuff I didn't even know was coming at me. Now, all you witches on here, I got a word for you this morning. Listen, you listen to this teaching and you're going to hear it. All you believers, you need to sow into this message. I don't care if you gave. You need to sow into this message. The only way you're going to get out from under that poverty, out from under that. And you know what? I told my staff, like God told me. He said, look at all I've accomplished through you, Erica. One day I'm gonna bring my sister on here, not my biological sister. My husband can tell you. God had me attending a funeral for my brother. Had a lady call me on the phone from down here, I told you, to come and preach to okra and corn and soybeans, okra, corn, and peas. Hundreds of acres. In a little church, it was called a miracle. It sits on Miracle Road. Pictures of it because I knew I wanted to keep it. I was preparing to move home with my sister in Cleveland, Ohio, because I didn't want my sister to be alone because my brother had died. And I went up there, didn't have no money, started a little church so all my family could get delivered and saved. Then I got a phone call to come here, and I told the lady, she said, well, I'm a farmer. I ain't got much money. I said, well, just send me a Greyhound bus ticket. The Lord has said, only take two change of clothes. I only put two change of clothes in a little bag to put it up in the overhead bin on the Greyhound bus. When the Greyhound bus pulled up in this town, I looked and I said, oh, no. It was a little shack, only big enough for one person, and that's where the Greyhound bus stopped, and the lady was waiting for me in her van. And I said, uh-oh. Okay. I want to tell you something. I got off that Greyhound bus, got in the lady van, and she took me forever and ever and ever in the woods. And I said, oh, man, God. Now, I had been up in Tegucigalpa, and I mean in Lemoyne, Honduras, feeling I got when I got to Tegucigalpa, Honduras. Oh, God. What am I doing now? I came to this town with the clothes on my back and two other changes of clothing. My husband was working at a Ritz-Carlton property. And I had just inherited a new home through my brother passing in Cleveland, Ohio. And I was had just gotten the church ready. And God said, go down there and preach. And I'm looking in the middle of hundreds and hundreds of acres of food, corn, soybean, I told you, peas. And I said, okay. This little church, they put me up in a Motel 6. And the people in the Motel 6 gave me a refrigerator and a microwave in the room. I dealt with the Ku Klux Klan, which the preacher's husband was a member of. I dealt with, they tried to put me in a trailer on another 100 acres of their property. I said, man, I ain't sleeping in no trailer out here. Ain't nothing gonna, deer, chickens. I said, no trailer. I ain't sleeping in no trailer. But I preached the gospel every night. 3 days turned into 3 weeks. Then another preacher Call me from Charleston, South Carolina. And I told the lady, I said, God want me to go to Charleston. She said, I'll take you. She said, but will you come back? I said, I don't know. Whatever God say. I went to Charleston. It was supposed to be for 1 week. Turned into 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks. But the church had a concert planned for Lee Williams. And she said, how about you come stay at my house while we do this Lee Williams concert? And I said, the Lord said, don't go stay at nobody's house. I said, I can't stay at your house. She said, well, you know, talking to my husband, and he said, well, are you going back to Cleveland? My sister, my family, the church I got going, and my husband over here. I say, God hasn't released me from this place yet. And my husband saying, "You can't, all you got is the clothes on your back." I say, but God ain't released me from this place. I don't know how many years it's been, but I came here with the clothes on my back and two sets of clothing. Now the ministry has three houses, a SUV, Suburban, and another something or another. But when we came, we only had a Saturn, a little Saturn. My husband had to pack up all of our stuff by himself. He would come over here. I went to a motel that was so bad that the saints, the women of God had to come to the motel room I rented, and we had to fumigate it, scrub it down, and some Indian people owned it. And they said to me, they said, God is telling us to let you stay here, and we're going to give you this room because he's going to give you another place. I said, wow, you prophesying? And so they gave me the worst room they had. We painted it, fixed it up. I did deliverance in the daytime. And then I didn't have a car because I had to turn the rent. I never had a rental car there. Never had one. So then another lady said, I'm gonna let you have my church to preach in. She said, I'm only using it on Sundays. I said, well, can I run a revival? I had to walk to that church every night, rain or sunshine. Cars would see me walking and would deliberately splash water on me through puddles of water. I would just keep on walking. Needless to say, I didn't know where the church was located. Was the biggest murdering strip in Charleston, South Carolina. Thugs, prostitutes, witches would come in that little church, which was back up in a hole. Tell you, was 90-something years old, had been one of the biggest revivalists down here, but had gotten old and had gotten forgotten. I just kept on preaching. I kept on preaching. People got delivered from AIDS and HIV. I kept on preaching. And then when my husband resigned from his job, he said, wait a minute. Are you telling him, you asking me to resign? Move there? He said, are you sure you hearing from God? I said, I'm sure. Then a guy came in my meeting one night and stood up. He was a tall guy. I thought he was a basketball player or something. Come to find out, he was a ship engineer on one of those ships that carry cargo all over the world. I delivered him from Freemasonry in the name of Jesus, and all the spirits and devils and demons of Freemasonry. He said, my name is Gary. He said, God doesn't want you to live down here. I said, I know that. He said, I got a 4-bedroom apartment in downtown Charleston. And I believe the Lord want me to put you there where you need to be, in the middle of the tourism and all of that. I said, thank you, Jesus. Gary, the one that was with me, oh, yeah. When I got here, a lady's phone number appeared on a piece of paper in my suitcase. And I said, who is this? This is when I was out there in the cornfields. I called a lady up. She said, you calling me now? She said, I got cancer. I've been trying to reach you for a year. I said, oh, Jesus. I said, your number appeared in my suitcase on a piece of paper. She said, well, let me call the person who gave me your number. And I forgot to tell you, they drove people from Charleston every night out into that cornfield. That lady stuck by me. That lady prayed with me. That lady took care of me. And she was almost 80, 70-something. So then, when Gary moved me into this beautiful apartment, I thought it was beautiful. I could walk to the main tourist area. I could walk to the hotel. I could walk. So my husband had asked his job. I mean, told him he wanted to resign. They asked my husband, could you stay a little bit longer? But he was packing up our stuff by himself. By himself. He would drive over there as much as he could. Being a chef, he worked weekends and try to make sure I was okay. But I stood because God told me to stand. Then the apartment, I need to put some of this stuff up on my page so you can see it. The apartment that Gary gave me, it was beautiful. It was renovated. It was beautiful. But guess what? It was in the middle of a crack hole that had been a stronghold for drugs for almost 90 years. So that's the first time I'd ever seen senior citizen crack addicts, senior citizen heroin addicts, senior citizens dealing drugs. I had never seen anything like that before in my life. But yet it's still, and the 4-bedroom I had was on the second level, so I could sit there, look out the window, and pray and pray and pray. I saw transvestites get delivered. I saw people that had been on drugs and alcohol for 50, 60, 70 years get delivered. And I stayed right there. My husband came with a U-Haul and the car all by himself. And the crack addicts helped me move in. The crack addict stood guard outside my place of residency every night. The crack addicts told me, they said, we see you. When I first moved in, I said, yeah, and I see you too, devil, but we're going to see who stands. And I stayed there in downtown Charleston. A couple of famous people came under cover of darkness to get delivered. My friend would come and bring other longshoremen, engineers that didn't know Jesus, lawyers and people from the crack addict on the gutter. That's where the diplomat came And then the Lord said, it's time for you to go. I said, Brother Joe, God said it's time for us to go. I don't know where. And God said, back where you on the ground when you got off the Greyhound bus. I said, okay. Where I first set my foot on the ground was Walterboro, South Carolina. I came over here. God had a senior citizen lawyer. And his wife had a house waiting for me. And then I didn't have any money. I'm living, you know, poor but broke. Like any other itinerant minister. They said, oh, no problem. We'll carry the paper for you. We just want to get rid of the house. I looked. It was big enough for me to put my school on the side. I said, we'll take it. She said, how much money you got? I told her what I had. She said, that's your down payment. By the way, they happen to be Episcopalian. I told them what I did. We prayed, and this was my house. I'm standing in the house praying. I look across the street. I'm praying for this guy, absolutely out of his mind. Jamaican people coming here by the carloads and the busloads. From a lady in Canada sending them. I saw Jesus is Lord written on the roof of the house. I said, wow. God say, that's your next house. You're going to have that house. And that's going to be your healing home. Then in that house over there, they used to have a lot of kids. Me and Brad Joe used to feed them every holiday. They said, we going to Florida. We leaving. I said, oh, okay. The next day, the guy pulls up, and I see him going in the house. The Lord said, now, call that man right there. I called him up. I called him, and he came over across the street. I said, is that your house? He said, yeah. I said, I'd like to have that house because God told me I need that house as a healing home. He said, God told you? I said, yeah, God told me. He said, the best I could do for you. You say, God told you? I said, yeah. He said, well, how about, can you afford blank? It was a price I could not afford. I said, yeah. He said, well, would you like to buy it? I said, I don't have no money to buy it. He said, well, how about you lease it for a year? And once you lease it for a year, I'm going to sell it to you. But that, brothers and sisters. And he said, I'm going to carry the paper for you. I knew I had been here long enough to establish some kind of credit. I said, well, let's do that. At the end of the year, I'm going to go to the bank. And see if I can't even get less money to have to pay. That was house number two. House number three was tow up. All of these houses was tow up. We had to take check, my husband's check by check. Little. And then, I know he don't like me to talk about it, but I'm going to mention it this morning. Jose gave us a big check. It was enough to renovate all the houses. Sent it from California. Put it in my account. What am I trying to tell you? Jose lived in that house. None of us knew he was going to live in that house. the healing home. But he's the one that had sowed the seed to renovate it, because they was all raggedy and tore up. Then the person who said, who sold me the other house said, I got another house. Do you want it? I said, I not only want it, I need it. He said, well, can you come up with such and such? I said, no, but I'm going to pray. I said, I'm going to take it. Oh, you know what? I'm going to put a new roof on it. And can you handle everything else if I put the new roof on it? I said, I tell you what, you put the new roof on it. Let me tell you how I want it rehab. You rehab it and let me pay you later. He said, okay. So then, brothers and sisters, the devil think he's going to send somebody in here and destroy what God has put together. It ain't going to happen. All this because I left home with the clothes on my back and two sets of clothing in obedience to God. And God reminded me, and I told the staff yesterday, if I was able to accomplish all of this without this anointing, what do you think God going to do now? I failed to tell you about my 20-acre ranch he gave me that I gave to Victory Outreach. I failed to tell you about that. That I could have sold for at least maybe $700,000-$800,000. I failed to tell you about the fact that God gave me $3 million worth of real estate without one penny, turned it into $6 million, and I gave it all away to poor people that didn't have homes. If God could do all that while I was operating under a need for deliverance, and he just delivered me from that yesterday, what is God about to do now with the anointing? See, I'm only sharing it with you because I lived it, because he did it. I know what he could do in the area of finances and resources, and I did all of those things I'm telling you about with no money. All I had was faith in God. All I had was a word from God, but I stepped out on it every time, and God delivered. I know nothing about real estate when I bought all them houses in Florida, but God sent a man whose wife had been his accountant, who had taken all his money, and he was a developer. And he said, look, all I wanted from him was my first little mansion on the corner. Prostitutes going up and down the street. But God gave me a mansion and two apartment buildings beside it. No money. All I had was in God and his ability to do, and my ability to understand that God is a provider. But not only is he a provider, he's telling me now, look, when you have me as your provider and you have my presence, woo, what can I not do? And now when I'm going to give you this knowledge, what can you not do? But it ain't going to work for those of you that are stingy. It ain't going to work for those of you that don't trust God. It's not going to work for you, so don't think that it is. Don't think I just woke up one morning. God takes you from glory to glory to glory. God takes you from faith to faith. To faith. When you hear me talk about my staff here, I don't have a shabby staff. They had demons, but ain't none of them shabby. They didn't know they had religion. But it was God that put in their heart to seek him, to know him, to understand his ways. To get rid of the garbage inside of them that was taking up space that belongs to him. a lot of you on here, you took my ministry for granted. You took me getting up here like I was a fool. Tell you something. Ain't no fools in Christ. And you're not a fool either. You may have been deceived. You might have been tricked. You might not have used your faith to the fullest. But that's why God will give you. Remember, you know the story of Moses' father, Jethro? You see, as of the church, Moses said to his father, come and go with me. You know the way. You've been that way before. You know. Well, guess what? Jethro said, no, that's not for me. And Jethro, which was a priest, mind you, he was a medium priest. God didn't put Moses with just anybody. God put Moses with a priest. And the priest did not know him. Well, that makes sense, because Moses didn't know him yet either. But they knew what they knew. And God knew he was going to introduce them to himself. And God knows that about you. God knew that about you. But he also knew who was going to do what? Follow him. Who was going to do what? Believe him for real. Who was going to do what? Stand. Still stand. Because in their heart, they knew that there was something better coming. You see, no matter what I have experienced with God, I always know God got better for me. God got more for me. I know I might have to go through a temporary situation, a temporary circumstance, but I know God's going to bring me through it. Why? Because he's done it again and again. And every time he brought me out better and better and better and better. So when you hear me play that song, he keeps on blessing me. I got a testimony. My life is a witness to his goodness. My life is a witness that 200-300 witches in coven band together to try to stop the word of God from coming out of my mouth. It didn't work, because I'm fully persuaded in my own mind that God is able to take me through. He's able to put me on top. So when I come around unbelievers, when I come around the naysayers, when I come around the people, I look at them and I pray, God, if they only knew you. God, if they only understood you. God, what is it going to take? I don't know. Paul said that same thing, and God had to knock him off his horse. God had to cause his eyes to be blinded. And then he had to send a believer to go lay hands on him so that the scales would fall off his eyes and he could see. Listen, I want to see you make it. But I'm telling you right now, you can continue. You can continue as you are, or you can come on up in Christ. You can get rid of your fear, your trepidation, your judgment, your accusing everybody but yourself. It ain't nobody's fault that you are an unbeliever. It ain't nobody's fault that you won't believe. It ain't nobody's fault. Stop blaming everybody else. Get up.
Walk by faith. Live by faith. See through the eyes of faith. Hear through the ears of faith. And get yourself moving. Jesus is praying for you. Jesus is interceding for you. To do it. Because when you stand before God, it's going to be you and him. And he's not going to say, why? You want him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what you want him to say. My hour is just about up. If you're a believer, I'm going to ask you to join me tomorrow. If you're an unbeliever, if you don't like me, don't come on here unloosing them demons against me. Because in the morning, I'm going to ask God, starting today, reverse every curse. I'm going to ask him in the name of Jesus. Flip the switch. As they love cursing, so let it return unto them. I have to. Enough is enough. As their heart is so hard, do what you have to do, God, to turn them into a believer. Don't let Satan kill them. But whatever you got to do to turn them into a believer, please, God, don't let them be lost. We walk by faith, brothers and sisters, and not by sight. Nothing that you hear that doesn't activate your heart to move toward God will bless you. I'll see you tomorrow on the 10 line.
After a season of nightfalls and pushback, after the heartache of wrong turns and sidetracks, just when they think they got you game, set, match. Here comes the comeback. Just cause you lay low, got up so unsteady, don't mean you blacked out or bowed out. You're ready. Just when they think there's nothing left, running on empty. Oh, oh, oh. Here comes the comeback. they got you game set match. Oh, 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 here comes the comeback.
This is a song that my father-in-law wrote. The title of the song is You Keep On Blessing Me.
Over
and over again.
Come on, y'all.
Over and over again.
Here we go.
Let's try this. Clap your hands. Come on.
You know I could have been sleeping in my grave, but you kept your life.
neck and made you scream.